Yes, it is. Glory be to God. We just praise you, Father, for an awesome time that we're in. We praise you, Lord, for all the great, wonderful things that you're doing for this group, for this ministry, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for the great and wonderful trials that we've been going through. And those trials, Lord, after we get through them, we understand why we went through them, and we're grateful for them because they make a better person out of us. They make us the person that looks like more like Jesus every time we go through these trials. And Lord, put that endurance in us to go through these trials, glorifying you, Lord, and doing the best we can to please you in every one of them. And we praise you for that. Everything that we do, Lord, we want to please you in it. And we thank you for it, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night because I know your Holy Spirit is guiding us and leading us. And we thank you for this open heaven, Father God. And we praise you, Lord, that when we pray, we know that our prayers are answered. And I thank you for it, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, for your presence in this fellowship. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Okay, I got one. I've already prayed, but I want to pray again. I want y'all to believe with me for Angelica. She's been under attack by witchcraft and in her body also. And so in the name of Jesus right now, we come against these attacks against her in the name of Jesus. And we cast it all down as null and void, and we command every discomfort in her body to leave right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that she is completely healed, delivered of this spirit of infirmity, and you have to go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that she is praising God right now, jumping around and hooping and a hollering to you, Lord, because she knows it's done in Jesus' name. Y'all agree? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Uh-oh. I'm not going to allow this delay in my broadcast tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are not allowed in here. Let me see here. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? I was trying to adjust something there. Nobody else wants to pray? All right, I pray again. Listen, this part of the program is for praying for any and everything that you want because we've got all good faith, bold faith people in here, and it's a great time to pray for everything. Lord, I just pray and I thank you for bringing down the blasphemous deep state, Lord. And I thank you for doing that. And I thank you, Lord, for taking all of their money away, taking all of their authority away, getting rid of them. And I thank you, Father, for good Christian people up ahead of some of these corporations that own everything. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you are bringing down these infamous known CEOs and owners of these large companies that are billionaires. Some of them probably trillionaires by now, but that's all right, Lord. We thank you for taking them out and shutting them down in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father. Now, Lord, we thank you for what's left because I know there has to be a cleansing of your body. And I praise you for that too, Lord. And I thank you for it. Glory be to God. Y'all believe it? Well, God's doing it right now. He's doing it right now. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
I'd just like to pray. Father, we thank you for the circumstances and the situations that you're bringing upon the country and the world right now. And I just ask that you would send out your Holy Spirit to to give ears to people to hear you, to be able to hear your word, hear your truth, and also eyes to see that the destructions that are coming upon this world, that you and you alone are in control and have power over each and every one of those. And Lord, we just ask that you would turn people's hearts toward you, Lord. We thank you that the circumstances, these things that are coming upon the world are going to put fear in people and automatically turn people to a desire to and a need to know, a need to be saved in their particular situation. But Lord, we also know that the warnings and the preaching and the dreams and various other different things that went out, we know that the majority of the people ignored Noah as he preached for years and years and years while he was building that boat. And those people around him carried on and continued in their life as normal, did not take heed, and didn't concern themselves even up until the time that it started raining and storming. And then at that point there, pounding on the side of the ark was useless, and they all perished in the flood. And likewise, the same in with Lot's family and the environment in Sodom, when he tried to get his sons to come with him, and they mocked him. They thought he was crazy. But Lord, your everything has a timing, and you warn and you warn and you do as much to bring people into a place of repentance as possible. You never in your word, you don't command us to know the time or the date or the hour, but you command us to watch and wait and continue to watch, that time does not overtake us by surprise. And Lord, you continue to do that, to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our heart, to bring and put fear in our lives, Lord, so we'll turn from our sin and turn to you for the solution, turn to you for the life that saves. And you bring us through into that place. But Lord, your scripture says that eventually that day will come. Judgment will come into this world. And Lord, for this time, you have created us to be in this time and in this age, Lord. And you're going to fill us with your Holy Spirit. You're going to bring the harvest in, and you're going to prepare hearts to hear your word and to walk in your spirit, and to make these transitions from the earthly to the heavenly. And so we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for your goodness in our lives, and your patience, your mercy, your grace in our life, Lord, to continue to bring us out of a place where we couldn't hear and we couldn't see, but it was you that brought our hearts and turned our hearts toward desiring to know you. And so we just trust you that you are accomplishing this very same thing in all those that you have called into your kingdom. And we trust you and thank you, ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit tonight, that we have, that we can pray, that we can be in tune with your Spirit, and that we can walk and pray and listen and encourage each other and strengthen each other through the scripture and through song. And Lord, we just praise you. We love you. And we just ask you, Lord, just to be with us tonight as we cast our eyes upon you and lift our eyes upon the heavenlies to see and to be with you. And we thank you for it. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Julie.
I'd like prayer of agreement, please. About a month ago, I got notification from my phone carrier, AT&T, that their data had been breached and information was leaked out. And they got, you know, whatever emails and blah, 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 all that stuff. Well, you know, I changed my login password and all that and did what I was supposed to do as far as what they were advising to do, you know, with my AT&T. But now I'm getting hit with all kinds of marketing spam junk in my email that I had with, a particular one of the emails that I had with that. I don't use that email anymore, but I still use it because it's there for just a little thing. Anyhow, my prayer request is like, Father, I just thank you and praise you, Lord, that I'm not going to see any more of this junk email just filling up my inbox. I mean, I know there's not a lot, but there's stuff there all the time. There never used to be because I don't really use it. It's not an active account. And I command the angels, take care of this, clean my information out, take my email address out of whoever bought my email address off their list, whoever did all that, whatever evil is being done with selling and marketing these lists that they made of people's information that they stole. And I am hidden and you take me out of the system. Take me out of all of their systems. Take me out of the systems of man, wherever my name can be removed, Father. I thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I'll pray the same thing for mine. Just take my name out of everybody's box that they can hide my name in places it needs to be hid. And I thank you for it, Father. And I pray that for everybody who wants it, who wants to receive that. Angels, go down there and take our names out of these people. And take it off. I ask you to take my name out from any kind of federal register either, in Jesus' name. Take it out of any government, in Jesus' name. I am a non-entity, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, everybody wants to do that, just raise your hand and tell the Lord to do the same thing for you, because it's going to be done. Thank you, Lord. Beats me. Let's see. Who is Y5 2019? That's a telephone, I suspect.
Hello, that's me and Mom.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay, Will.
Sorry, I forgot to put in the name.
You sure did.
If you see Huawei, it's probably going to be one of our phones.
Okay, well, I just had to make sure. Is Louise there with you?
Yeah, she's here as well.
Hi, Louise. What's up, girl? Lord bless you both. Okay, anybody else got a prayer request? That's something I want to talk about tonight also is David talked about it on the morning program also, morning meeting. You have angels assigned to you, been with you since you were born. They don't like sitting around. So anytime you need something done, tell them to go do it. I tell you, today David was telling me, he said, one of them, they started saying, every now and then they started saying, aye, aye, sir, when he tells them something to do. Aye, aye, sir. That is that I told him afterwards, I said, you know what that tells me? That tells me that they love to work and do the things that we want them to do. Because I serve as a naval term, if you're going to do what that commanding officer said, but you're going to do a good job at it too. So just command your angels to do whatever you need done. If you have somebody that's troubling you, might be a way to do that with your angels. Just ask the Lord to give you that idea to send that angel away, and he'll do it. Guarantee it. He'll put something in your mind. Was that me or was that God? It was God. Go ahead and do it. Yeah, we send them out to do everything. Listen, let me tell you something they can do. And I'm being recorded here, but everybody needs to hear this. They can look like you. They can go in a place and look like you and do business for you. I guarantee you, I've seen it time and time again. One of them walking around out there looking like me. One of them out there running around looking like David. Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I don't know how you could be any more prettier than I am right now, for goodness sake. You try to get me down, you ain't going to get me down, girl. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? No, it's really, I'm telling you, the angels, remember that, Pat, let me just tell you this before we start, before I call on you. Back in Sweetwater, y'all remember the story when I told you about the angels flying about Peachtree High out in front of the porch? And they were milling around inside the house, just kind of lollygagging around. And I said, Lord, what's going on with these angels all around here? They're just standing around. He said, I ain't got nothing to do. Y'all ain't been praying much. He said, you go to praying and giving them something to do, they're more than glad to do it. So the next morning, we started praying and praying hard. And directly we saw every one of those angels. They was all through the house. Every one of them got right in front of us. Man, they were at attention. They were looking at us. And every time we we prayed, you'd see one or two or three or four or five until every one of them had gone. They were gone doing whatever it is that we prayed for them to get out there and do. That's because we hadn't been praying right. So once you start praying against the enemy, start praying against the enemy in your family. Pray that they protect your house. Pray that they protect your property. Pray that they protect you and your family wherever they are. Go, angels, to protect my wife. Go, angels, to protect my daughter. Go, angels, to protect my son, my grandson, my great-grandson. And if you got great-great ones, go ahead and protect them too. You know, send them to work. That's their job. You got more than one too. Okay, go ahead, Pat.
So, Michael, when do you, I don't know that I've ever seen an angel, at least if I have, I haven't seen. So what do I have to pray so that I can see my angel or my angels? And you can unmute too, that would help.
Well, if you had been listening in the spirit, you would have heard me, Pat. I'm sorry. I would suggest this. Do a lot, and I've said this before, do a lot of praying in the spirit, because that is your portal to get into the spiritual realm. And once you start praying in the spirit, don't just stop after 5 minutes. If all you can pray for 5 minutes at that time, the next time pray 10 minutes. The next time pray 20 minutes. The next time until you get up to where you can pray 2, 4, 8 hours or as long as you can, you know. I'm just saying. And that, yeah, I know. It seems like it's impossible. It's not impossible because I'll tell you why. Because the longer you pray in the Spirit, the more the Lord is drawn to you. The Holy Spirit is there and he'll start showing you stuff. Last night we had David, Timochuk. He's here, I think. Yeah. David's here. While he was praying last night, the Lord walked in the meeting last night. And he stayed most of the night. And he just milled about. I told you, he loves to be with his people. He loves to be with him. And you can see him too. Just sometimes you see angels and you don't, you think it's your mind. You think it's your mind. It's not. It's you seeing in the spirit. And the way to do that, like I said, is to pray in the spirit a lot. Draw closer to God. Have these, do like, David, he'll take out and go walking down the hill and say, come on, Jesus, let's go. And Jesus, no, he'll ask, he said, Jesus, you want to go with him? Jesus said, yeah, let's go. And so they take off. I've done the same thing. Get close to the Lord. The closer you get to the Lord, I'll tell you something, Pat, that's also the entry into supernatural taking God out of the box things. We hear about the normal things. There's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to it that I haven't experienced that I want to. And the only way to do that is to draw near to God. Draw closer to God. When you draw closer to God and everything that you do, you want to do all things to his, for his sake. You love doing it because Jesus wants you to do it. Then you'll start walking in that. And just remember this, you can start reading about people who walk in these supernatural realm of doing things. I read about a guy that was praying. He always prays for his children. He goes in his house and he prays for every room in his house, and he'll pray for his daughter, and he'll pray for his son, and he'll pray for his wife. This is after they've already gone to bed. He doesn't he go here he's allowed to pray till 4 o'clock in the morning, get up and go to work. But he's supernaturally supercharged because he's been praying in the spirit, doing the things that God wants him to. Doesn't lack for energy. That's what God will do. David does the same thing. He prays a lot at night. And I've only seen him just a handful of times tired. It doesn't bother me. He can get by on 2 hours of sleep. It takes me four. I'm twice as. You know, it takes me, I gotta have at least four. And I say that, and I should be saying, it don't take me nothing. I could go all day long without it. And all night too. Now, that's what I ought to be confessing. But logically speaking, that's where I has ended. But the ticket is get closer to God. Go ahead, Pat.
So before Joe plugs in there then, so I would like to ask for prayer for the Lord to make me sensitive, to give me that sensitivity, and the depth of prayer language, the depth of praying in the Spirit. Because I don't feel that I have that depth. Praying in tongues and speaking in tongues, but I don't have I shouldn't say that. I don't feel like I have the inner depth, to, converse or to be comfortable or whatever it would be there. I guess maybe a release in that or something. I feel so. Okay. I'm just put it. That's how I feel, and I just like to put it out for prayer.
Okay.
For myself, that I can be sensitive to God in the depth of the spirit that He has given us.
Okay, I'm going to pray. That's a spirit, but I'm also going to tell you that just like I told you a while ago, the way to do it is do what you can. The next time, just double it. The next time, just double it. Regardless of how you feel, just do it anyway. And you'll see what I mean. First time I even had tongues, I did it for 4 hours. First time I got baptized in the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues. I had a full language out there in the shop. I did it for 4 hours. And because God, the power of God was all around me, and that was God's grace and mercy on me. But I'm going to pray God's going to set you free from that too. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command that spirit that's hindering him speaking in the spirit language, I command you to go from that right now in the name of Jesus. I command all hindrances to him walking in the spirit to go from him right now. Lord, I thank you and ask you, Father, to place it in Pat's heart to go ahead and do it whether he wants to or not. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, he is going to be a mighty spiritual man of God, and I thank you for it, Father, that he's going to be able to hear your voice too, and I praise you for it, and I pray that for everybody here. I command all hindering spirits that keeping people from speaking in the spirit to walking in their spiritual language fully, and I thank you for it, Father. We send the angels out right now to get rid of those demons that are hindering everybody that wants to pray in the spirit, speak in the spirit all the time. And I thank you for it, Father. And Lord, give them a boldness to do it out loud, loud, strong, and what's the other one? Oh, gosh, Lord of God. Loud, strong, and long. That's what it is. Loud, strong, and long. You do it loud, strong, and long, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you my experience. I would get out at early, at late at night, past 12 o'clock, maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and get out in my backyard and just walk around and pray in the spirit. And I'd blow that shofar every now and then until the neighbors got mad at me and I quit. But I would pray in the spirit all the time out there, and boy, that helped me so much. I was sitting out there on the, me and my good friend Buddy Oliver were sitting out on the porch, the back deck, and we were praying, and all of us, this is broad daylight, and all of us, and we were talking about provisions for the Latter-day Church, and all of a sudden I had this great vision. All of these dollar bills floating out of the sky, just millions and millions and millions of them. Looks like a heavy rain coming down. I said, grab some, buddy. and it was awesome. But God was showing us that he is going to furnish everything that we're going to need in these last days. It's going to happen. Glory to God. Okay. Yeah. I feel confident that everybody here that wants it well has already got it right now. You've already got that spirit language and the want to draw nigh unto the Lord through it. I do it all the time. You hear me going up and down the stairs. David does too. We just pray in the spirit a lot around here. Enemy ain't got a chance when you do that. He ain't got a chance. I ain't messing with that bunch, Lord of God. I ain't messing with it. Okay, Joe. Yeah, more of Jesus. more of the Holy Spirit. Pour it out, Lord. Glory to God that we want it. Praise you, Father. Yes, Lord. All right, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Amen. Morning, everybody. I got a prayer. Well, my prayer is advice as well, but I need prayer as well. I sent you an email on faith.
Okay.
If you can read that, or you can just answer it, if you don't mind.
Well, let's see here. Do you want me to read it? Yeah, I can read it.
Yeah.
Myself.
Or you can ask the people if
okay.
they don't mind.
All right. All right. Joe says, all right, all right. You don't mind if I read it out loud then?
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. I was on my way home after shopping. I passed a bus stop and saw a person lying in the booth who looked very neglected. I made a U-turn to give him food and soda. I stopped at the bus stop, rolled down my vehicle's passenger window, and called him, but I couldn't get his attention. He was talking to someone very cheerfully, a language I don't understand. I honked lightly on my car, and then I got the man's attention. He then stood up very carefully and walked towards me. And I could see that he was looking past me. He was dressed very unusually. He took the food and soft drink with trembling hands, but dropped the food and picked it up. He said thank you and walked back to the booth. Then I could see there was no one with him. I could only see blankets and a magazine. I couldn't smell any alcohol on him. There was definitely something very wrong with him. I didn't know what to do. I felt very sorry for him. There can be so much wrong with the person. How do I help such a person besides giving him food? Blessings. Anybody got any answers? I got one, but I'm going to wait till y'all give me. What would y'all do in the same situation after the fact? Yeah, Julie.
After the fact.
That's what he's talking
I
about.
Used to run. Yeah, I used to run into that almost daily when I was commuting and going to and from, you know, my home to work and back, and you know, working downtown. You couldn't help but see it everywhere. And there were times where, you know, I would, you know, I made mistakes about things about that too, but you know, just asking the Lord, how am I supposed to help this person? Because, you know, I'm a woman and you don't always know what people are capable of and what they're doing. And it's after the fact you see somebody like that and they, you know, you're able to minister to them. There were people I gave money to and I, you know, probably shouldn't have. And the enemy was always accusing me in that, but our greatest gift to them is to pray for them, because, you know, sometimes like in that particular circumstance, Joe, where you said he wasn't really there, you know, he wasn't, you know, really able to receive from you. So if you were to give him anything like, you know, the gospel or whatever, but you know, our prayers and intercession are the greatest gift we can give them. That's what I've learned over it. But there were times where I was able to help somebody. You know, they weren't, you know, they were just down and out with things, just bad things happened, you know, and they weren't drugged and they weren't an alcoholic or anything like that. And the Lord brought people like that across my path too, where I was able to minister to them properly and share some, you know, truth with them and pray for them and give them money or, you know, and that kind of thing. So yeah, praying is our greatest. And then I would pray for somebody, you know, because I couldn't at that time. I couldn't help them. I was going to work or whatever. And I couldn't spend time with them. And I would always pray that somebody, that God would send him somebody that could really meet the person's need that they need, that I couldn't meet. That's been my experience.
Amen. Anybody else? I guess one of the things that I would do while I was talking to him, Joe, you see a need, ask him, you know, would you mind if I prayed for you? And then you pray a general prayer, kind of like this. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of this man's enemy against him in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for freedom to seek you. And I thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to him and bringing him into the kingdom a mighty way. And I thank you for doing that, Lord. And I send the angels protect him round about him right now in Jesus' name. And that's pretty much it. And just walk off or just gone and leave him. And he's gonna be grateful. If he's not grateful, it don't make any difference anyway. You have done what God wanted you to do. And that's to spread the gospel. You've given it out in a very, it's not, you know, it's not going to make you mad that you're praying for him. I wouldn't be. Of course, you don't know nowadays, but I'd do it anyway. Make the enemy mad. But that's what I do. And then I go and spend some time to pray for him in the spirit. Lord, you know what he needs. Pray through me for him. I didn't pray for him. Anybody else? What would y'all do? What would you do, Ben? See, I can do that.
Well, it was always a bit of when I first started my Christian walk, it was hard for me to get over that hurdle to give people like that money at all. But the Lord's been really merciful to me to understand and to obey what Jesus tells us to do and to give to people rather than just judge them. Because I don't know if that person has Christ within him and he's just going through a hard time or something. That's just kind of what I'm going through, because a scenario happened the other day. I was going to the grocery store and some guy asked for some change, and I gave him the rest of the change that I had in my Jeep, and you know, then I did my grocery shopping, went back to my car, and then he asked me again if I had any money. I was like, I already gave you all my money, man. I can't give you much more. And he's like, oh, that's right. And I just said, God bless you. And then he said, God bless you. And that's all I had, but maybe I might try asking if he needs prayer next time. I never really thought to really, I don't know. I just thought that's all I had for him. But now I know I can add on to that for now.
Yeah. All right. Because most of the panhandlers are, you know, they'll God bless you all day long. They'll God bless you, but that's okay. That's fine. Yeah, Julie.
I was just remembering one incident with this guy that I'd seen him more than one time, and you know, he's kind of a clean cut person, but he was living on the streets, and you know, they found shelter or whatever at different places, and sometimes, you know, he would just find a place that they would, you know, that, you know, then the police would run him off and that kind of thing. But the Lord led me to pray for that guy, and it just came out the way it did. You know, I blessed him with, you know, a little cash. It was on at lunchtime, and I asked him if he had lunch, and he said, yeah, it was somebody had just bought him lunch, and, you know, but he didn't have a job and he didn't have a place to live, and he'd kind of give me a little bit of his background or whatever. And, you know, the Lord just led me to pray for him. And I just like, I pray for you for, and it just came, it just kind of flowed out. And just like, and I said, you know, whatever I said, and I said, Lord, get my brother off the street and find him a place to live and get help him get him back on his feet. You know what? That was the last time I saw him on the street. So I believe God
Praise
answered
God.
That prayer.
Amen.
You know?
Praise God.
So, yeah. this one of those things, you just never know how God's going to use you, you know. It's like, get my brother off the street. He's a Christian, you know. And to the best of what he was walking in, he believed in the Lord. And, you know, he prayed for God's protection because he's out on the street. And there's a lot of people out there that, you know, want to do people harm. And, you know, he talked a little bit about that. And that's when just like, get him off the street, Father. You know, get your son off the street. My brother, get him off here.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I've seen a couple of these, two or three of these. There's this guy, he went up to, he dresses kind of like a homeless guy, and he'd go up to people. He went up to this one lady. He knew she didn't have a whole lot of money. And he walked up to her and he said, can you spare some money for me to eat? Said, I haven't eaten it, however how long it was, he said. And she looked at him. She reached in her pocket and gave him her last $5. He said, is this all you have? She said, yeah, that's all of it, but you can have it. And he said, no, you take it back. And then gave her $1,000. He said, because of your, he did that. That's why he makes his YouTube movies. And he gave her $1,000. And she just wept, boy. She needed that money worse than a hog needs slop. And I tell you, she was really blessed. So I've seen it. I saw another one where this guy walked up to this. You knew he was homeless. He was sitting down on the street with a tin cup. And he said, man, he went off up to him. And he looked bad, too. He walked up to him. He said, man, can you spare some money so I could get something to eat? And he looked at him and he said, I'll just give you what I got. And he emptied out the can, gave it to him, and the guy gave him $500. And the guy jumped up and went to hollering Jesus. I tell you, it was awesome. It was awesome. But those things really bless me when I see somebody do that. And they're giving their last penny to somebody else because they needed it worse than he did. That's awesome. And I think that's the way we ought to be. We can't judge them. You can't judge them, you know. You can be led by the Spirit. It says if a man asks you, give. All right. Anything else? Y'all want to hear an anointed song? Straight from heaven. Okay. Amen. We're going to listen to one. I might do this first. I don't think this one here gives the history behind it. One of you girls want to give the history behind this thing. Now, this is the English version of it. Julie or Missy? What does that mean, Missy? What does that mean? Y'all know it better than I do.
Michael, that one video that I first showed you that had the history when he shared narrated it, that video went private after I shared it, so I don't know.
Well, here's what happened.
I can go ahead, okay. Mike.
Here, the only thing I remember about it is that this guy had a vision of all these angels singing this song, just a heavenly chorus, and it was just awesome. And the Lord gave him the music for it, also gave him the lyrics for it. And he put it in a church. This is a Greek guy. This is a guy from Greece. And he played it in church, and they sang it. And as they were singing it and playing it, demons would manifest in people. and they get delivered just all over the church. They would get delivered because of it. It's awesome, awesome. Did you have something you wanted to add to it, Judy?
Yeah, as you were saying that, Michael, I remember what the very first thing the one guy was saying it, is that when he was given this dream, or it was a vision, he saw one angel, and he was immaculately dressed, and he was dressed in his, it was like, and he started, he was dressed in armor, and that this was a song to go out in, this is how the song that was, that they sang was to send the angels out to do warfare. And then he saw the whole bunch of angels singing in unison with this song. And, yeah, so I watched that, and then I watched the video that they did, the original with him, them singing it in his church, and it's in the Greek language, which is really, was really beautiful. And they had the lyrics down and the information so I could see what the lyrics were. But as I was, oh, I was just like, wow, what a powerful song. And it's just exalting Jesus, just exalting King Jesus and what the angels do. You know, you know, like Missy said, it gave her goosebumps. It kind of gave me chills too when I first heard it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, let's go ahead and listen. Thank you, Jesus. It's got a download, I guess. Yeah.
I was just...
Father to God. My. Help me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everybody like that? Whew. I did. Whether y'all did or not, I did. Let me say something before I get off on something else. I'll put it out there, Will. Can you do that, Judy? Put the link in the chat, please. Okay, thank you. Anybody that has been born again can do any of the things that we've talked about so far. You can do everything that Peter did, that Jesus did. Did you know that? Everybody here can do and walk like Jesus. What happens a lot of times is, do you want to do it to the point of killing your flesh? And that sometimes is a hindrance. When you want to do, and you want to do everything to, for his sake, for Jesus' sake, when you want to do everything for his sake, then you'll be able to walk just like Jesus. And that's what this whole thing is about coming up here, this 7 years that we're looking at, is about. It's getting rid of self and helping other people. Us right here, when you lose self, and when I lose Michael and ain't nothing left but Jesus, that's when I'll do the greatest work. When Julie, Anna, David, Alina, Missy, Andrew, Pat, Ben, Joe, Barbara, Cheryl, George, and Bethany, Will and Louise, Sunil, Josie, and Lana and Theo get to that point, everybody here be able to do whatever Jesus did. And I'm not sure everybody here understands what Jesus did. They could not kill him until it was time. Right? That's right. I mean, they were crowds wanting to stone him to death. They just as calm as he was. Ain't nobody going to stone me. It ain't time yet. Bless God. I'm just going to walk right back through you. That's what he did. He was translating. He translated a whole boatload of folks one time. There's all kinds of things that Jesus did. What'd they say? They said that all the books in the world couldn't put the things that Jesus did in it. Something like that. All right. But every one of us is, there's nobody in here greater than anybody else in the Christian, in Jesus' eyes. There's nobody. Y'all can do what John G. Lake did. What people are doing right now, people are doing now amazing things because they love the Lord more than they love themselves. Hey, can I read this? I want to read this prophetic word that Libby got tonight on air. Is that all right with y'all? Yeah, Joe, go ahead before I, okay. Go ahead, Joe, before I get started.
Yeah, my prayer request from earlier was pray for me. But I was thinking last night or yesterday afternoon while I was praying is when it came to me, I'm sure the Lord gave it to me, is I'm sure the guy was either on drugs or smoked or something. I'm not sure what it is. But I just, well, Lord gave me the thing is to make war against drugs. How do I, where do I start if you want to make war, spiritual warfare against drugs? Where do you start? Is it just taking the people's money away, or where do we start something like that, if you don't mind?
You break the power of that spirit of addiction off of it. You have Jesus in you. You have the power of the Almighty God backing you. And you can do, I remember when Kenneth Hagin prayed for his brother, who was an alcoholic. He prayed for him every day. He said, I'll break the power. No, he prayed for him one time. He said, I'll break the power of this alcohol off of my brother. I think his name was, I can't remember. Off of my brother right now in the name of Jesus. And I declare and decree him come into the kingdom right now. And he said, and Lord, I thank you for granting repentance to him. And he said, within a week or 10 days, I forget which one it was, he says his brother came into the kingdom. And this is when they were older that he came into the kingdom. The power of your faith is just the same as Jesus. You have authority over those enemies in that man. That you can break that power. In the name of Jesus. And a lot of people think that you say in the name of Jesus is just a mantra. It's not a mantra. You're standing in the stead of Jesus. You're standing in the footsteps of Jesus. You have his character. And when you have his character, and you know that you've got his character, that enemy ain't got a chance. He's got to go.
I understand, but my question was, is can I go to a spiritual, can I make spiritual warfare higher up? In other words, where did he get these drugs, or where the other guy get these drugs and higher up? Must I go higher up with the drugs and binding and stopping the drugs from spreading or things?
I'm not
understanding.
I'm
asking.
Go ahead, Julie. Help me out here. There you go.
Joe is saying, can he go higher than that? And, as far as binding, like where it's coming from. And what I've done, I've been binding up like the whole drug trafficking thing, the drug lords and the labs where they make these, illegal substances, these poisons that they're putting in people's bodies that are, just killing them, slowly killing them and addicting them to stuff. And, and then can't we send the angels to destroy those pharmaceuticals, labs
Bingo.
Where they're making that
that's
kind of
I
stuff?
Was,
I mean, that's where you go. That's where you
that's
go.
What I was. I would take away his source of the addiction, whatever he's on. Lord, I send my angels to take every source away from him. After you pray the prayer of faith for him, breaking that power off of him, then send your angels to take the source away from him, where he'll have to come to you. And Lord, we thank you. Also say take him easily off of this stuff, Lord, because sometimes that whatever they're on is bad stuff. But the God can deliver him of that also. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Now, I'm just wondering, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was just wondering because, it says, I was in the time when they used to have a war on drugs and they don't have that anymore. And it does say, in the scriptures, that nation will be against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And here in Canada, they legalized some of these strong drugs, and already 2,000 people have died of overdoses. I think that's just in British Columbia, too. So this is part of the end time things. The nation of Canada. He bought the drugs off of Canadians. And they're even giving them free syringes from the government. So I think that's something you ought to pray against too, because a lot of the, I don't know how they have it in your country, but some of the places it's legal. So, and they're like dying in the streets, and I'm sure it's the same thing if it's a kingdom over there in the UK. They're probably dying in the streets too, because they probably legalized it, and you can shoot up in the streets and stuff. So you know, when Pearl Harbor was attacked in 1941, December the 7th, I think it was 4,000 people who died. I'm not sure, but it happened in a matter of a few minutes. But if you can lengthen the time and do drugs and kill Canadians, and Canadians are killing them, you know, I guess it's legal. I don't understand that. So, you know, sometimes you got to pray against things in that fashion too. So I'm just making a suggestion. I prayed this because it's just not right with let's say you had a family member or person who's a good friend who died. What are you going to think of your government since they legalized it, or your fellow Canadians? So there's a lot of things that you need to think that could be an outcome of these drugs that you have to pray against too. Because, you know, you're not going to think too highly of the people who legalize this since you have a dead family member or good friend. So it's just a wreck out there. I'm telling you. It's pretty bad. Anyway. And again, in love, because I don't know if these people actually know what they're doing that's wrong, because it's just so wrong now. It's loony. That's all I can say. It's, you know, it's really out there in left field somewhere, so far left that there's several cages and doors that are closed there to actually have it corrected, but God can do it. You really have to ask God to give you the meditation on these things you pray for too. That's a big thing. Some people just pray and they don't think of, I've done it, you know, I've just prayed a generic prayer, but there's a lot more influence now on the dark side to pray against things there. Just like what I said here, you know, you might not think of that. I don't know what it's like in everybody's country, but that's a thought to take into account anyway.
Amen. Yeah, it's the number one killer of young men in the U.S. is drugs, fentanyl, mostly. All right, anyone else? I want you to raise your finger when you hear my voice. Oh, that's too late. I got a delay in it. Okay, I gotta figure that out after we get off.
You have to give us a countdown there, Michael. You have to give us a countdown so we can I can see your.
Can you hear me now? You're about 3 seconds behind. It's a setting on this thing, and I have to just play with it when I get through. All right. Anybody else?
Michael, I don't discern a delay from my end when you're speaking. Like if you.
When you're sitting in my seat. There's about a two or 3 second delay.
Is it in the audio or the video?
Yeah. Both of them. And the whole thing.
So I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Julie, did you are you following that? Are you tracking that? Do I have a delay from am I being delayed? No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
That's too much of a delay. That's all right. I'll fix it. It's a setting in the microphone, and I'll have to do it after I get off. I have to get with one of y'all to help me. No, it hadn't. Yeah, in the name of Jesus, I command you to fix yourself. Angels, fix this for me, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. That's good. All right. I'm going to read this that this is Hear the Word of the Lord by Debbie Finsky. This is from Friday night. No, Monday night, I think. Anyway, one of them nights from 4:19. So that was Friday night. Monday night, yeah. This is the time to stop thinking about yourself. Hey, can y'all hear me? What are you laughing about? I didn't say nothing funny. Okay, we're going to start again. Get the serious look on your face now. Come on. All right. Hear the Word of the Lord is the name of it. This is the time to stop thinking about yourself. A mind on self is a worldly mind. Put it far from you. This is the time to have your mind focused on what I am doing and how I am going to do it and how I will use you and move through you. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, who emptied himself and became obedient to his Father. He was not obedient to his own inclinations. He had none of his own inclinations. He was totally yielded to every thought and way of his Father. And now you must be yielded to only me and my way of thinking. My way is love. My way is also judgment. My way is mercy. Think on these things. Come before me ready to let me speak to you the things on my heart, that you will intercede from a heart ready to fulfill my will in this time. I have given you authority to bind and loose. Let this mind be in you. Listen to me. I have an agenda. I want to speak to each heart and mind who wants to line up with what I am doing. Warfare. Do warfare. Are you taking in my word? Oh, I'm sorry. As you are taking in my word, you will know how to pray. And you will know what I precisely want you to warfare against. Do you see this thing I have called you to? Are you getting it? It's nothing about yourself or of yourself. It is my will. You are in my army. You are called to be soldiers. You are called to set yourself apart from the things of this world. Repent. Change your mind. Change your thinking. Renew your mind with the things that make for peace through prayer, which is my will for you to do each day. There is only peace in that. There's no striving. Are you going to give yourself up to what I have need of you for? There's only peace in giving up. There is a work that needs to be done. wars for souls that need to be won. Feel the freedom, my thoughts for your thoughts, my ways for your ways, my desires for your desires. Let us build the kingdom together. I could do it without you, but it would mean casting you aside. Oh, my people, how that thought breaks my heart. My people, hear the word of the Lord. Think on these things and act accordingly. Those are serious words, and this is something that the Lord gave us. This is for all of us. Get rid of self. Nothing that you do is meaningful in God's kingdom other than doing the things that the Lord wants us to do. I've got a sign right here. No distractions, no YouTube, only Jesus. I needed that for myself to get rid of that garbage. Okay, anybody got any comments on that? Says my internet connection is unstable. You lied, devil. It ain't either. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
You know, we were talking about the drug thing. I really don't know if these people don't know they're doing things wrong. Okay. They don't have Christ. They may have some law. At least they used to be against the law. And that's what I'm stressing too, that you got to think about that person who needs the Lord, who's doing these wacko things too, because it might not be, there might be a person there who's agreeing with this and saying it should be legal, but he doesn't know, he's not thinking it through or something, and he might not. What I'm saying is there people on the so far in the dark side that God wants to save some, you know, to bring them through too. So, you know, like the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee, Saul, who was responsible for killing people. So that's an aspect too, like when you're praying against things. So it's a toughie. It's just the way things are. I think it's a little bit different for us than in the days of Paul, because amongst the Gentiles, anyway, they had no word of God. They had no understanding of the God of Israel. But a lot of them gave up their God and became saved. So like the word of God's been around for 1,000 years for most of the nationalities from Europe anyway. So there's a lot of thought that has to be put into these things. I hope you understand what I'm saying. We have to love our enemies and pray for them that persecute us too. It's a toughie. And this is sometimes you might forget that this person doesn't know the Lord. To know the Lord is to love the Lord. Several verses to say that. 1 John 4:7. If you know it's the Lord, you're going to love him. And that love is agape. Love never fails. So we have to love God first. The love for the neighbor and the enemy comes from the love that we show forth from loving God. That's the way I look at it. Because he mentions the number one law there, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, and then to love your, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus also mentioned to love those enemies and pray for them that persecute you. So it's love all the way around. So And I think the demonstration of this love is what we have to do. And that has to be done through God's sovereignty through us. We pray that we would admit the love and we would show forth the love that we would. We love because he first loved us. You know, we didn't choose him. He chose us. So this love has to shine forth out of us. And we want more of this love. We want the truth, of course, because we want to love the truth. But we want to be set free, too, with the truth. So the freedom is part of the love. You know, it all intertwines and interconnects. And it's an obedience that we carry in us. Because God, if he's going to dwell in us and walk, like it says in the scriptures, then he's going to make the love happen to us. Because that's what it says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. And that's just the same amount of word as any other word to be in his sanctuary and I guess it's tough to sometimes love the person who's your enemy. Like you have to do some real heart searching and soul searching for the people who come against you. You know, sometimes you get stuff put in you from your parents that they had to go through in their lifetimes because they went through a war or something, and so did grandpa. So you gotta think straight. You know, there was a prophet there in Titus that said, all Cretans are liars, idle bellies, evil beasts. In one of the Bibles I have here, I circled that country, Crete, and I just put, what nation do people put in there now? You know, we got to be alert and sharp and ready to always love. Anyway, it's a tough thing to do. It's a lot of thought and meditation. And I'm the first to say that I have to think and meditate on these things too. So, praise and glory to God for his love. And his love to manifest, and his love to be shone through us. It is holy. He that calleth you is holy. Be therefore holy in all your behavior. And this is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. The other fleshy guy, we don't want to do anything about him. So we don't need that vanity. Praise and glory to God. Glory to God for his love that never fails, that conquers all. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Will.
I was just wondering that 19th, that was the email you sent out. You wanted us to listen to that live stream.
What was the question?
No, you sent an email out. We must listen to a live stream. And yeah. I worked it out. That was the 19th one, the same one that Deborah gave that word. I'm just checking that I got the right live stream.
Yeah.
Because the one, was it the one about Planet X?
Yeah.
The one about Planet X that's coming. And Deborah gave the word, so I got the right email to the right live stream. You said Monday, it just confused me.
Yeah, that was last night. Now, what's today? I don't know, for goodness sake, just do it. Okay, go ahead. Anna quit. Go ahead, Pat.
excuse me. So I guess what I was thinking when Joe was asking that question.
Pat, can I interrupt you just a moment?
David, you certainly may.
David put something up here. I want to read it. David and Elena, David Timichuk said, while Michael was reading, I started hearing these words. When you're free from self, that's when you have the calm in your storm. When you're free from self, that's when the sea splits so you can reach the other side. When you're free from self, only then are you free to love me and the ones around you. When you're free from self, that's when you will be able to enter my presence. Am I worthy enough for you to give yourself up to be with me? Thank you, David. That's an awesome word. That goes right along with what the Lord told Debbie, too. We'll copy that. Get that. Go ahead and copy it, people. Put it down somewhere if you want to. Go ahead, Pat. Thank you, David.
Yeah, just so, yes, that is awesome. I think what Joe was asking that question, the way I understood it is, you know, should we take it to a higher level, or you know, in specific, I think praying against the supply of the drugs that those people had, and so. The thing that I initially thought about it, number one, is I think we, you know, obviously we have to take it to whatever the Lord, level the Lord shows, because it doesn't just stop at the, let's just say the pusher or the supplier or whatever. It there's also the infrastructure above that, which is making multitudes of millions and millions of dollars, or you know, off of the sale of that material, those drugs. It even goes up higher to the governments, or that are potentially financing those drug cartels in order to manipulate societies or whatever for a particular political or earthly or world goal or something like that. So there's all kinds of levels of motivation, and above that, and of course above that, are the spirits, the demons, that are supplying the necessary motivation to have people bribed, the motivation to do all these things that are obviously unseen. So, I think the thing that I go at, or that I have to focus at, is that number one, all of that realm that I just explained there is the earthly realm, including the demons. And I go back and I really kind of need to study this and read up on this, but I was reading in Luke 10:18. And Jesus was, you know, he, the 70 that he sent out by twos came back and were, you know, praising the Lord, and you know, they just went out and had a good time. Then, you know, couldn't believe that, you know, the demons were subject to them, and that sort of thing. And then Jesus said to them, "I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven." And I believe that was Jesus, because when I first read that, I thought, wait a minute, you know, he beheld him fall as lightning from heaven. You know, what does that mean? That, you know, how, you know, I'm not sure how that fits into anything. But I believe what he was talking about is that Jesus came to take back the rightful authority that man had been given on earth. And he took back the rule, the kingdom, and the dominion. He took it over. And when he did, he dethroned Satan. Now, obviously, that dethroning culminated in the in Jesus's crucifixion, his burial, and then his raising from the dead. And I believe that was the physical place where, or that it manifested and took place. But I'm not quite sure, but I'm thinking that Jesus was saying here, he was speaking prophecy, or truth as it was, as he had been given it, but it was, faith before manifestation. That's the only thing I can think of. Anyway. And so anyway, what happened at that point, or as a result, is that he was now ruler, legal ruler of the earth again, of this domain again. And then from that standpoint, that standing, he gave us authority. "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." And of course, in Colossians 1, I think 13, he has translated us, he's delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of Jesus. So as far as we have been placed in Jesus as high in the echelon that mankind can be, shall we say, and as high in authority, because we are in Jesus, and the devil and all these other manipulations and deceptions and the demonic realm and everything, all of that is below, is underneath that power, that authority that we have been given in Jesus through his name and his word. And so we have the ability through the Spirit to attack any level of that echelon, any place in that structure. And so I think for me, it all goes back to the Lord in what he wants to You know, what does he want done? What does he, what's his plan? Because that whole earthly structure, including the demons, is there at the creation of, God created that for his purposes. And I mean, he, if, you know, if it was a fact that he just wanted to eliminate it and get rid of it, in a word, he could lose it all and it would all be history and gone. But I think that he created it in order to train and raise up his kingdom, his sons and daughters to walk in his word and to, come into fellowship in that, in our position in him, I guess you might say, is what I'm thinking. Anyway, probably, over elaborated that as usual, but, I guess the point being is that, you know, I think we just have to walk in the spirit and ask the Lord, to what degree, where in that authority structure does he want us to attack, and by our prayer do so? Anyway, it's kind of what I'm thinking.
Okay, very good. Go ahead, Will.
I just thought about something. It's, yeah, just correct me if I'm wrong, but it's more like a question. You know, you remember Howard Pittman's testimony where he did all this works, you know, he did all that works, and he even took in kids from the street and adopted kids. And when he got to the throne room of God, it was like God said, oh, it was all useless works. So it just had me thinking, you know, you can help 1,000 beggars and 1,000 drug addicts, and you can still go straight to hell. Just, it's so your salvation and our salvation is so, so complex. He had to go around the world on request and give that testimony to anyone that asked of him, if I remember correctly. And that was extremely helpful for me, you know, in the beginning. So I'm just wondering, it feels to me like we're in sort of like the pre-trip preparation time. Like there's so much in ourselves that we need to focus on right now to make it through the tough time that's coming. Like, am I gonna be strong enough to endure that in my faith? So there's a lot of cleansing happening now, a lot of prep, a lot of personal. So I was just asking the Lord, you know, is it really beneficial to get involved in anything other than that right now? You know, like it can be distracting. So I don't know. I don't know. Like I think just asking the Lord, am I going to make it through the worst time ever on this planet? Am I going to faction out, or am I going to just collapse? I think there's so much work within ourselves right now to be very helpful in the time that is to come. So that's sort of my question is, should we like pray that we don't get distracted with things now that we should not, and that will distract us from focusing on the, you know, the cleansing and all the prep for the great work that we are to do in the times that are ahead. Hopefully I put that right.
Yeah, the number one priority right now, Will, as you're right, it is running after the Lord with all your heart, getting rid of self, doing all, but in your day-to-day walk with the Lord, you're also to do the work, if that makes sense. And when you do the word, remember the thing here, that warfare is also very important on God's list. Warfare. I think the biggest thing is just like we talked about a while ago, that word from Debbie, from the Lord, actually. To be like Jesus. Have no inclinations for yourself, but only do what the Word of God says. And that's to run after the Lord with all your heart. That's the main thing. If you want to be in a bride, that's what we have to do. We have to run after the Lord with all our heart. And I'll tell you something else. I think you're going to be surprised at God's mercy and grace on a lot of people in the days to come. I've already seen it. I've already seen His grace and His mercy with people. And it's very heartening for me. Okay. Anybody else got a word they'd like to share or talk about anything that we talked about tonight? I think I know the main thing that God wants right now is us to be able to hear His voice. And you do that by drawing close to Him. Because you're going to need that in the days ahead. Sometimes I think I need to make this sign about as big as my computer. You know what I mean? No distractions, no YouTube, only Jesus, and put it over my screen. I'll be glad when the 10 days of darkness gets here. Glory to God, just turn it off and go see Jesus. Go ahead, Will.
I'm sorry to, I was just got this prayer and you can correct me. This is more question. I'm just asking questions. I'm putting it in a different light, but it's actually, you can just say, William, you've got the cat by the tail. It's a good Afrikaans expression. What I'm just sort of, if I see someone right now knowing all this stuff and all this prep and all the work and all the books I still need to read and all the things that I still need to conquer, it's almost at times better to just for me, just ask the Lord that, Lord, I cannot take the responsibility of this person in my life right now. Can you just help him? Even my prayers, I don't even have enough time to pray for that person at this time because I've got too much other prayer to just get rid of the abominations that is still in my flesh. Lord, I can't help this person at this point in time. Can you just help him and just move on? Is that good?
Well, if that's what you feel like the Lord wants you to do, that's fine, yeah. You can ask the Lord to go ahead and do the things that you want to do for him.
Yeah, because in my own life, there's such a deadline. You know, for me now, to make that Philadelphia deadline, there's so much stuff that I need to focus on right now. I don't have time for that. I want to help him, but I first got to remove that. You know what I'm saying? I've got to remove.
Yeah, I
It had
do,
a
I
mine
do.
life first. I don't know.
That's what I was trying to say a while ago. If you're doing everything that you can, you're going to see God's grace and mercy upon you. All He wants is you. That's all He wants. He wants you. He wants me. He wants us all to give up the things of the flesh and run after Him. And to understand what Jesus' character was like. He had no inclinations, he said. He had no inclinations for himself at all. And that's what he wants most of all of us. And I'll tell you something else. You might think that you're falling way short. That's not a bad thing, way to look at it. But just know this, God knows your heart. And if he knows your heart, he knows that you want to be like Jesus. And he's going to give you a lot of grace and mercy. When the day comes, you're going to be in. That's all he wants. He wants your heart. I'm finding out that God's love and his grace is a whole lot more, and mercy is a whole lot more, wider, bigger than we can imagine. Go ahead, Will.
No, I just have a good testimony. When I was in 2011, and I was born again in 2010. In 2011, a friend of ours, a family member had a drug problem and sort of was kicked out, and our farm, it would be ideal to take someone in, you know. But that was back then, and that whole, we took him in, but it was an enormous flop. Not one of us was ready for that. And it was just a lesson for me, you know. It was such a lesson for me to ask the Lord first, am I ready for this? I wasn't nearly mature enough to help that person at all. So it was a lesson to me. Like sometimes you feel responsible, you should do something, but it wasn't really required of you at all. I wish I had that. Yeah, it flopped badly. It flopped so bad. It ended up making the situation five times worse. None of us were ready for it, but we felt at the time that it was expected. But after the experience, I just realized that there was no way that that was expected of me to take that person in at that time.
Amen. Amen. Well, we learned. That's how we learned. Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to tell Will, it's not advice anybody, but remember the word always, word says, don't be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your request be known. Always go to God if you feel you got too much stuff on your hands. Just always go to God. Don't get anxious. Anxious is from the devil. So that's all I want to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. Right on. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to share? Yes, Anna.
I don't know, Will, if you've heard the prophecies that Tiana's had. I think it's been a little while, but she's had some really good, encouraging prophecies about, you know, don't worry about where you're at. You know, God knows that you're trying. And when this gets poured out, the flesh is going to just be gone. So praise God, because I feel like that sometimes too, like, oh my gosh, like we're on countdown and I'm not ready. And, you know, I'm trying to tread my own water here and there's other people around me drowning. And what am I going to do?
Lord help us, flip the
really
water.
Just encouraged me. Yeah. And, just that God knows, and we're in our fire now. I can't remember all the things the Lord said in those prophecies, but you know, God knows. We're in the fire now, but you know, his grace is going to meet us there, as it's kind of like part of the reward, I guess. So I don't know. I can't relate it word for word or near as well as the Lord put it, but Just, it was really encouraging that we don't have to worry about it. God's gonna get us where we need to be.
Amen. Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Along those lines, it's God's grace, it's our faith, but it's God's faith, you know, that we even believe, you know, we receive it by faith, that we're, you know, we're running after the Lord, we're doing everything we know to fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold of life eternal, you know, and that's, you know, that's Jesus. He's our life, right? You know, that's why I keep telling, you know, telling God I love him. You know, Jesus, I only want you. Where else can I go? You know, you have the words of life. I can't, you know, Egypt's gone. I can't go back that way, you know. So it's, you know, we all see our little flaws and failures. And something the Lord was encouraging me with is that he sees our, like you said, he sees our heart. And, you know, we see these little, you know, idiosyncrasies about ourselves or our flaws or, you know, oh, I failed again at that, or I'm still distracted with YouTube, or gosh, Lord, I'm sorry. I did all that. I feel like I wasted that time. And, you know, the devil's right there to condemn me for it. And it's like, okay, Lord, I know by faith you took this out of me. And I was like, I'm not looking at necessarily, well, I am looking at junk, really. Sometimes it's junk, you know, it's just a temptation of my eyes. And it's like, next thing I know, I'm clicking on it. I'm like, why did I do that? Oh, I should have done that. You know, but he sees, you know, he sees what we're dealing with. And it's like, thank you, Lord. You already see me as delivered from all that, these temptations and distractions. And like Michael said, you know, when we have this, you know, they shut everything down. It's like, okay, thank you. I'm not even tempted to look at that. I got everything downloaded on my computer that I need. You know, I can just turn my computer on and use what I need there and get in the word and just, you know, hey, it's like when we had those times here, you know, a month or two ago where the Lord was saying, you know, just no meetings, just seek me, you know, okay, great. I don't have this pressure to do anything. I don't have to be anywhere. I don't have to be here on time. I don't have to think about what day it is to be here. You know, it was just, I can just mellow, you know, just sit here with the Lord. And there was, it was a lot, it was, the stress was gone about that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us from all these little things that we still get stuck in. You get us unstuck. Praise the Lord.
Amen. You'll do it. While I'm thinking about it, I sent out an email Sunday night for a meeting, and I know it was way too late for some of you. I just apologize for that, but the Lord just had me do it right then. And that's what I wanted to do. So just want to tell you that. Don't get on to me because I think the Lord wanted me to do that. Go ahead, Will. I'm apologizing.
I maybe you guys picked up some anxiety I wasn't aware about, so I'm just thanking you guys for that. But what I was referring to is exactly what Julie was saying, in a way, like maybe we shouldn't take on any extra pressure, like the pressure of the needy right now, or, you know, any extra pressure than our own sanctification. It was like, for me, if I just let, I felt immediately like taking that as an example, that guy that we helped, we took a lot of pressure and it put extreme pressure on all of us. And I could have said, no, I'm, that's not my pressure to take at the moment. So maybe even the needy right now, in some cases, we don't have to take that pressure. We can say, Lord, that's not my problem at this point in time. Just deal with it. Thank you. That's what I'm trying.
Okay, Will. I see. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Joe. I said, you're the only one that did that too. The rest of you better repent. I'm telling you right now, y'all better repent. Hit your knees. Praise God. Okay. Anyone else? Thank you, Joe. You my bud. All right. Yeah, George, how you doing, brother?
Doing very well, sir. Just thinking right. A few different things. Can you hear me? Okay. The truth is stronger than our flesh. It's stronger than unbelief. It's stronger than addiction. And it overcomes and sets free. And like you were saying, when we align with the truth, when we become the Word made flesh in our, you know, when we become the Word and become like Jesus, we already are seated in heavenly places with Him. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. And when we get the revelation of the truth, that revelation of who we are and who we've been called to be and what we have the capacity to carry, understanding that He gets all the glory. When we decide to stay crucified with Him, but yet be everything that we can be, especially in the time that we live in, then it won't even be a conscious thought. It'll just be a need that we say, you know, it's almost like a game where I heard a preacher one time say, put God on the spot. He can cover the spot. And Jesus likes to cover the spot. It's we take a risk of our own flesh being embarrassed by reaching out and saying, God, you want to do something here, and releasing total faith and no doubt and believing that God wants to get involved in wherever we go and wherever He puts us. And the pressure is all on God. It's not on us. It's just, we're just the conduit. We're just a walking PVC pipe from heaven to earth that says, all right, I'm positioned in a place where there's a need. Heaven, answer the call. And if we just believe that we are those vessels and set people up to see the glory of God, the more we, I believe, try to be obedient. I know it is in my own personal life of seeing miracles and seeing things is just obedience, obedience, obedience. And it's saying, you know, I didn't write the book. The book says this. I know that God saved me, so that means I'm a vessel. That means I'm available. And just availability and obedience equals miracles. And miracles equals Jesus, because He's the creator. And it's like I tell people, when people tell you their problems, why do people tell you what they're going through? And why does the devil overplay his hand and set you? It's like it's a big game of T-ball where he's putting it up on the tee and we get to knock it out of the park with Jesus. So the pressure is all on God. It's not, you know, it is almost like a game, because if God didn't want us to defeat enemies, there wouldn't be no enemies out here. He wants us to be warriors like Himself. And He teaches our hands to war. And an attitude of praise, an attitude of expectancy. I just believe the more we'll believe and reach out in faith, the more we'll see, and the more we're embarrassed, the better for us. The more we put ourselves out there to be humiliated, what have we got to lose? We already died with Jesus on the cross. There is no we. And when we get the revelation that we are gone bye-bye, Dorothy, Kansas doesn't exist anymore. Hallelujah, we're in heaven. So that's all I got to say is expect more, see more, and be him. Praise God.
All right, you can hear me now, can't you? Okay. All right. I'm going to say something. And after I say something, I want y'all to raise your finger that you saw me, heard me say something. Something. That's too late, Patrick. Something. Oh, my goodness. I still haven't got it. Okay. This is crazy. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful night. George, thank you so much, man. I missed you all these many months. Some of your great logical, biblical sayings. It's great, man. I appreciate it. All right. Y'all be blessed. Lord, we thank you for getting us all ready. Because I know you're doing that, just like George was talking about. We believe it. We're going to stand on it, too. And we're not going to get anxious for nothing. Because we know you've got us in your sights. And we praise you for that, in Jesus' name. Y'all be blessed, you hear? Or even don't hit that button. Let's see. Well, for goodness sake, where did I all go? More.